Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Ready, back to throw. Play action. Looks. Gonna have to get rid of the football. Now rolls around. Fires down the field. Caught. Tight at the 40, 35, 30. To the inside with a 25. Cutting. 15, 10, 5. Cabot. Touchdown.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome here to the Pete Shepherd Show. Wow, what a day to be on the air here on Patriots.com once again. Now, not much happening, huh? Not too much around the NFL with the Patriots, with Randy Moss. Anything happened? Where was it? I mean, like I said earlier on the crossover, I mean, I expected after that press conference with Randy Moss on Sunday, that love fest about the love fest for the Patriots, it just really, really was unbelievable. Never seen anything like that in quite some time. But what a weekend it's been for the New England Patriots. First of all, an impressive win, as you all know by now, over the Minnesota Vikings. You know, not pretty at times, but again, making the plays when they have to, getting the job done. They now have the best record in the National Football League. And that's with Brett Favre playing a pretty good game, obviously, probably better than a pretty good game, but they didn't get caught up in all that stupid drama. Moss only had one catch. Adrian Peterson didn't really have, had a quiet, 92 yards. I mean, it is just unbelievable. This team is now 6-1. Most people did not think they were going to be this good. Again, a lot of football left to be played, but you have got to be happy if you are a New England Patriot fan to see that this team now has the best record in the NFL. Am I surprised? Not really, but they're probably about a game better than I thought they'd be. You know, I just really thought, and obviously things changed with Moss, I just really thought at the beginning of the season they'd go 12-4. That was my official preseason prediction, 12-4. So I'm not really all that surprised. I wasn't sure that San Diego would be really good. I wasn't sure about, I wasn't sure about the Vikings, how good they would be, and some other teams. The Jets still, to me, have a lot to prove. I'm not sold on them yet being one of the, certainly one of the better teams in the National Football League. There's no question about it. But are they, championship material? I don't know. That 9-0 loss at home to Green Bay. Not surprised at that at all. I think I picked Green Bay on the show. I'll have the picks later on, by the way, which is always a fun part. Like I said, Scott Zolak is coming on today. In this hour, and then next hour, in the 5:50 around 5:15, we'll have Vic Carucci from NFL.com on with us as well to talk about his reaction and what's his thoughts about this bizarre story with Randy Moss. Not to mention the fact that Logan Mankins is back. He signs that restricted a free agent tender offer of $1.54 million. That's going to be prorated the last 9 games. So, I mean, it is just it's all good for the Patriots. It is all good. And by the way, you can email us at webradiopatriots.com or call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Pete Shepherd Show until 6 tonight. Also, I got my Facebook page opened up. So in case you guys don't send private messages, post them right on the wall. It's easier for me to read. And no problem if you can't get to if that's easier for you to send than send a regular email, that's fine as well. But there is just so much to talk about. And, again, the big question that everybody's asking, everybody's stupid, ridiculous poll question, do you want Randy Moss back? And I say, if he clears waivers and becomes a free agent, then why not? Why not take a chance on him again? Now, I am saying that, and I can't get into Bill Belichick's head, but I'm assuming if he ever took him back, then he would think that he is not going to be a distraction on this team with some of the younger guys. Now, my guess is it's a long shot at best that he comes back. But I would not put it past the Patriots to at least think about it a little bit, because he does certainly add a different dynamic to the team as we've seen in the past. Now, whether or not, his emotions sometimes can, this team is coming together so well defensively and offensively for that matter. I mean, they're a better team offensively with Randy Moss on the field. I mean, you can't deny that is a fact. They're a better team. Whether he catches the ball or not, they're a better team with Randy Moss on the field offensively. But, the chemistry on this team right now is so good. I love what's going on. I can't tell you enough about Danny Woodhead. What an incredible pickup that was. That kid is just one of the major spark plugs of this team. I love him. I mean, he just gets better and better every week, what he's been doing out there. You know, Tate had that nice deep ball, made a couple of crazy catches. You know, you had Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski still doing their thing, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has been really outstanding. Really had a better game than Adrian Peterson did, if you can believe that, but he did. Patriots taking control of the game, running the ball, you know, down the stretch again. They can't say enough about the bend but not break defense, the goal line stances, all that stuff that you've all read and heard about over the last couple of days. I mean, it's all true. It's all happening right here. It's all happening in Foxborough for the Patriots. And now they go to face some more drama on the road this week against former coordinator Eric Mangini and the Cleveland Browns. And that's going to be kind of an interesting game. And because I don't know who the Browns are going to play at quarterback. I don't think Eric Mangini does, since everybody's hurt. I mean, Seneca Wallace and Jake Delhomme both have those high ankle sprains, and Colt McCoy, he's not hurt, but, you know, you want a third-string quarterback going up against the Patriots right now? I hope to God that's the case. My guess is probably Seneca Wallace will start a quarterback, but they got a couple interesting players on that team. They really do, but we'll get through all that today. You know, Peyton Hillis is a pretty interesting guy. But all you need to know about the Cleveland Browns is that their leading receiver is Ben Watson. Yes, that Ben Watson. He is their leading receiver with 30 catches for 336 yards and 11.2 yards per catch and a couple of touchdowns. Ben Watson, your leading receiver for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you got to be kidding me. So that just goes to show you where they are. But I am fascinated by what you guys think about the Randy Moss situation if he does clear waivers. And I'm not sure that he's going to. I tend to doubt it. But there's really only about 10, 11, 12 teams possibly that are going to make a serious run at this guy. And I'm trying to think, is Jerry Jones dumb enough, even with the record that they have and the way they're going with no quarterback, you know, Kitnet quarterback now. We're almost done for the year, more than likely. You know, is Jerry Jones stupid enough to go after Moss? You know, I don't know. Depends how much of that plastic surgery oozes more into his brain and makes him dumber than he's already been when it comes to player personnel decisions. It's going to be quite interesting. I mean, Washington Redskins, you know, a possibility. Miami Dolphins, you're hearing a possibility. Seattle. And, you know, there's some reports you are hearing about the Patriots possibly as well. So, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here over the next 48 hours, what transpires. Anyway, let's read a quick email. This is from Chris. Hey, guys. The simple reason was from the leftover of the show, but it says, all hail AK-47 and Pete Shepard. Oh, okay, thank you. Hey, guys. The simple reason that the Patriots have the best record in the game is simply hard work. No one slacks in front of Bill Belichick. He runs the place like a drill sergeant. I love it. Moss realized the structure and brotherhood that the Patriots have, he will not find anywhere. Band of brothers, and I mean band of Patriots. Thanks, Christopher. P.S. I have a fever. And the only cure is more AK-47 radio show. That, of course, from the Christopher Walken Saturday Night Live.
I could have used a little more cowbell. I could have used a little more cowbell.
Guys. He goes, I'm a regular man, just like you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. The only difference is I make gold records. One of the greatest skits of all time.
I wanted to know how much of the show is scripted and how much of it is crazy make-em-ups and ad-libs, improvs. When I host, I just say whatever I want. I free associate and I make up the skits and bits right there. And people seem to enjoy it.
He's the best. He really is. Anyway, feel free to chime in on email, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and again, the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. Scott Zolak from 98.5 The Sports Hub is going to join us in just a little bit. I know he's on with Andy Gresh every day. They do a great job over there. And interesting to get Zoe's perspective and maybe get him. If you haven't heard the story yet, I'm sure most of you have, but if you haven't heard the story of Zoe when Brett Favre was wheeled past him and they called his daughter down last week. And, you know, I mean, everyone thought, or he thought, and like a lot of us thought, he was just, you know, down for the count. But we should know better. Brett Favre, the ultimate diva, drama queen, drag queen, whatever you want to call him, open fly syndrome, it doesn't matter. Pretty good photographer. But, really, really hurt this team. And how about, I mean, how does Childress still have a job after this week? That amazes me, too. Childress and Phillips, I don't know how they still have jobs. But Childress won't be there for long, and obviously the owner, Ziggy, is upset that Moss isn't with the team. Not sure the Vikings did the right thing. I'm not sure Randy, yeah. But the other story involving Randy Moss, I'm going to punch it up now because some of the quotes I think are hysterical, and I'm not sure if the other show got to it, Jason, is some of the quotes about you know, the food critic that Randy Moss has become, which is apparently why he got waived. It's a very interesting story, and I'm punching it up right now because it's just it's one of those I might lose it, some of the lose it meaning hysterical laughter when I read you some of these some of the quotes from Randy. I mean, this is just it's just unbelievable what happened. This all happened during some kind of a team luncheon. So here it is, Randy Moss, and this was again first reported by Yahoo Sports, and I think it was it Mikey, Michael Silver at Yahoo Sports. But anyway, every Friday the Vikings invite a local establishment to cater the team's post practice meal. And last Friday was a St. Paul restaurant, a favorite of former Vikings center Matt Burke, that served chicken, pasta, ribs, and other dishes. And again, I'm reading this off ESPN.com, but I guess you know, Yahoo Sports had it first. While it's, in case you didn't hear this is just unbelievable. While his teammates lined up to dig in, Moss lashed out. Moss yelled, "What the bleep? Who ordered this crap?" Sounds like me. It's not. I'm quoting here. "Who ordered this crap? I wouldn't feed this to my dog." That's a player who witnessed the incident said, according to Yahoo Sports. The Vikings decided to cut ties with Moss, as you all know.
Yada, yada, yada. Ridiculous.
It is. Brad Childress in a statement saying, "The decision was made based on what we thought was the best interest of the Minnesota Vikings, both in the short and long term. We wish Randy the best as he moves forward in his career." Now, again, I'm trying to think where the, oh, this is great. The player who witnessed Moss's food tirade called it, quote, "an uncomfortable moment," adding that he felt Moss deserved to be cut after the incident. Quote, "This wasn't a chain. It was a mom and pop restaurant, and you could tell it was their best stuff," the witness said, according to the report. "And Moss is at his locker saying, you know, I used to have to eat that crap, but now I've got money." And then it goes on to say, "You just felt so sad for them. I had never seen anyone treated like that. And by the way, the food was actually really good." I mean, that is just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So Moss gets fired for being a food critic. Believe it or not, gets let go, among other things. So what drama there? And you still get the Brett Favre stuff you have to talk about, and oh my goodness. All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Eldrick from North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldrick, welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show.
How you doing, Mr. Pete?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just can't believe that either. I think Brad just going crazy.
Oh, Childress?
Yes, sir.
Well, he started to hallucinate last week. I mean, I think he's been in trouble for a while. I think Brett Favre has really gotten under his skin a lot. I think he's felt pressured to play him, obviously. And you know, between that and making the stupid comments last Monday about Spygate, bringing that up, and now all this Moss stuff, being the food critic at the team dinner. I mean, you know, I think it's fantastic. I'm just glad, for once, it's not happening here.
I don't think Moss is that bad here, because if you talk to anybody else, you listen to their comments, you know, it wasn't that bad. It was a money thing. And I think Belichick got the value. I hope we bring him back, because we can use him.
I agree. I mean, I do think it's a long shot, but I think it's possible. And certainly, and like, you know, like I said, and I said this 4 weeks ago when he got dealt, the problem with Randy is Randy. He's going to get his money anyway. I don't care if he should know by now, and I know he's a diva and he's all that, but he has got to realize he's still one of the best deep threats in the National Football League, even at 33 years of age. He's going to get his money whether he makes one catch a game, no catches a game, or 10 catches a year, because he definitely changes the way that defenses coach against teams that have Randy Moss on them. There's no question about it. So as long as he continues to do that, You know, he's got to realize he's going to get his money. I hope he comes to, I hope he's come to terms with that, that he does not have to have 8 or 9 catches and 2 touchdowns a game in order to be effective. All right, Eldrick?
Yeah, I agree with that too. But he also, like most of all the greatest, they want, you know, some catches. They want the yardage, you know.
I understand that.
He's number 2 on the depth chart behind Jerry Rice.
No, I understand that. But he's got to realize that, you know, that Adrian Peterson, one of the best running backs in the league, and they got a couple of other weapons on that Minnesota team that, you know, they didn't do a lot on Sunday, but you got Brett Favre throwing, you know, Brett Favre is back there a quarterback, which I'm not sure who's the greatest thing for Randy Moss. So I think he realizes he made a mistake here. I think he knows he blew it. You know, you go to arguably the best organization, run organization in the NFL right now, and has been for a lot of years. And you go to, you know, that cluster bleep over in Minnesota with Childress and that crew. They've done nothing, really. Haven't done anything in a long time. So I think he gets it. I'm just wondering if the Patriots would consider taking him back, or if they think that he's going to be too much of a distraction with some of the younger guys and the way this team's chemistry and character has come together over the last 4 weeks.
I don't agree with that because what we don't have is a deep threat. And Moss made everybody else better, even Hernandez. Welcher, mm-hmm. All of them
said they
criminal they
catch
to Moss.
Well, that's what I said. I agree.
I think this time he'll be humble this time going back. I guarantee it because he missed the boards. Did you see that press conference?
Of course. Did I see it? I couldn't believe it. I could not believe. I did not know where I was. I thought I was in some kind of Twilight Zone episode because it was honest. I mean, I said, is this really happening? I'm like, how long have I been out? I mean, it was unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, I hope you're right, Eldrick. I mean, I hope he comes to his senses that I'm just wondering though, there's probably a little bit more bad blood here than has been let on. I know it was a big love fest on Sunday, but I'm wondering if some of the damage was, you know, permanent that was created here the last couple of weeks. Maybe not. You know, it could be way off, but I certainly think if he does not get claimed on waivers, I think the Patriots will show some interest, whether they get him or not. I still think it's a long shot, but you never know.
Yeah, I hope they do get him because, like I said, I bet your Tom is lobbying for him because we need him for that deep threat to open everybody else up because San Diego sort of shut down that short passing game, but we won. But, you know, we had that deep threat, and Branch, he's not 100%, and I don't think he's a deep threat anyway.
Well, I think Tate, I mean, you saw, you know, he's still learning. He's not, nobody's like Randy Moss. Nobody. So it's not even going to say his name in the same sentence because he's not. I mean, he was a deep threat on Sunday. Tate was, but not in the way Randy Moss is constantly a deep threat. So, we'll see. You know, it's going to be very interesting what happens over the next day or two. Thanks for the call, Eldrick. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. Right,
bye-bye. Back to the emails. Let's see at webradio@patriots.com. And this is from Sean in Atlanta. Hey, Pete, I think the Patriots should definitely take Randy Moss after waivers. It makes perfect sense business-wise, since I'm sure Moss would sign for the veterans minimum. After hearing Moss at the post-game press conference, could you see Moss re-signing to the Pats after this season for a discount? Love the show. Keep up the good work. And the AK-47 show rocks. Now, Rook's going to be in trouble. Rook's going to be in trouble. Again, like I just said, I think they will consider it. I think it's a long shot, but I think the Patriots will consider it. Steve in Albany, New York says, hey, Pete, what do you think of the likelihood of Moss getting picked up, reporting, and then shutting down on the field? What if Brad tosses a bomb to him and turns around and walks off the field? Who's Bradford? They would still have to pay or waive him, right? I hope this agent warns all possible teams that this is the case. Therefore, Vikings pay the contract, and we get Moss cheap. I think he'll make the offenses more productive and a Super Bowl run much more likely. What do you think? Yeah, I definitely think he makes the offensive more productive. Whether or not he's productive or not, it to me is irrelevant. And I keep saying it because, to me, Randy Moss does not have to make a ton of catches and have a ton of touchdowns to make an offense better. It's just the threat of him being out there. So hopefully, he gets that now. It took a month from being away from here to realize that, but maybe he's grown up in 4 weeks. We'll see. But, you know, once a diva, always a diva. So I don't know. Like I said, I guess a long shot at best. Hey, Pete, Did you hear Raiders and Redskins are trading failure QBs? Good God, McNabb would be great as a backup. Yeah, is that the Jamarcus Russell thing? Jamarcus Russell's being worked out. Oh, my goodness. How desperate do you have to be? How desperate do you have to be to work out Jamarcus Russell? And that is just, that's just awful. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. You can post on my wall, Pete Shepard on Facebook. And certainly don't send private messages because I can't, you know, I don't have time to sit there and retype them back. So send them on my, post them right to my wall if you can, or the comment section. I'll be happy to read it if that's easier for you. And the Ace Ticket Hotline, of course, is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Not to mention, as we talked about earlier, beginning of the show, about Logan Mankins coming back. And, you know, Ivan Fears, the running back coach, talking today in a statement. I think he was on the conference call earlier today about the players jumping for joy, some of them. And that's great. You know, but Dan Connolly's done a hell of a job so far, I think. I mean, this offensive line has only allowed 12 sacks all year, which is damn good. So it's less than two a game, which has been outstanding. So they've had pretty good protection. Obviously, you want, obviously, Mankins, you know, they're saying he's day-to-day, the best players at practice will play, yada, yada, yada. I think Mankins, maybe he doesn't start, but I think he sees significant playing time. I mean, it's certainly the offensive line is better with Logan Mankins than without. And, you know, he just kind of screwed himself money-wise, that's all. But he'll get it eventually. He won't get what he wanted, all of it. But, you know, I thought the Patriots at one point had offered him a pretty fair offer at $7 million a year. But he does sign that, you know, they originally offered him a tender offer of $3.26 million. Now it's $1.54 million. That's going to be prorated over the final nine games. So, again, the playing status, according to the Pats, he's going to be day-to-day. And if he's ready to go on Sunday against Cleveland, he'll play. No question about it. No question about it. All right, let's head back to the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-543-7482. Is it Bob from Maine? Hey, Bob. Welcome to the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Bob.
Thanks, Pete. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, the point I wanted to make, especially in the game, you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit there.
Was that's
the
okay.
The offensive line's fantastic in the last two games. Well, the tight end, Crumpler,
yes.
Phenomenal in blocking.
Yes, he was. He was in motion a lot, too, on Sunday. He did an outstanding job.
And the guy who's not getting credit, I can hear people saying he's okay, but the left tackle, Matt White.
He had a monster game. He had a subpar game, I thought, against San Diego, but he redeemed himself big time against, he did a great job against Jared Allen. And this is the thing, I think Matt Light over the years has probably taken more heat in this town than really necessary because he's going up against the Schobels and the Taylors and guys like that all the time, Jared Allen's, all those kind of guys. And, you know, for all the time, for, you know, 55 to 65 plays a game that he has to face those guys. The one or two that might get by him, okay, you got to give him that. They're great players as well, usually coming off that right side against, and he's going to block them. But what about the 50 to 55 stops he gets in, you know, during the games? You know, nobody ever talks about that, the percentage. They remember the one or two that might get by him. But what about the other 50 to 55 stops that he makes a lot? You know, I think he gets sometimes a horrible rap around here, but he had a hell of a game. You're absolutely right. It's a great point. He had a hell of a game on Sunday against the Vikings.
I'm glad to see that Mankins is coming back. He's only going to add to the depth of that offensive line, but they're playing great, and that's the point I wanted to bring up, is that I just don't think that line's getting the credit that they deserve because they make the offense go.
They do, and you got to give, you know, Dan Connolly a big, you know what he's done. He's filled in very admirably for Mankins at that left guard spot. So, and you know, Kopi's always good. Stephen Neal and Vollmer, certainly. And like you said, the addition of the tight ends. I mean, Crumpler and Gronkowski and Hernandez. I mean, they've just been terrific. Mostly Crumpler's the blocker, though, obviously, but they've done a terrific job. They're really gelling, and they're just going to get better with Mankins. It's going to be very interesting.
I agree. Take care, Pete.
All right. Thanks a lot. We're going to check in on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. And you can email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. And let's see, let's go to one of our other emails. Let's go to Carl from California. Hey, Pete, looks like Coach Belichick serves up a healthy serving of humble pie to Moss. What do you think? Love the show. Carl from California. Thanks, Carl. Yeah, a lot of humble pie. What happened with Moss on Sunday, though, that press conference was more than humbling. That was a downright an ooze fest, to be honest with you. It was an ooze fest of loving for the Patriots. I mean, you talk about a slap in the face of the team you're on. Starts off by talking about, you know, it would have been nice to get the 3 points at the end of the half, which I totally agree with. Childress is stupid to not go for that field goal at the end of the half and go in with some momentum in the locker room. But you don't come out and trash your coach. I mean, he just made it very clear that he misses playing for the Patriots. Let's see. Here's Jay saying, "Hey, Pete, did you enjoy seeing Iron Man Brett get knocked out of the game? The two trainers supporting him as they left the field reminded me of the scene in A Christmas Story when the fireman guy looking to the school after removing his tongue from the light pole. I thought Brett's jaw was definitely broken by the way everyone was holding his chin in place, especially when they carted him to the locker room and the way he was curled up in the fetal position during the ride. When I heard he only needed 10 stitches, I thought, you got to be kidding. What a freaking drama queen. Keep up the quality show. I hope you get more days in the future. Jay near Rochester." Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. And like I said, there was a, Scott Zolak had a tremendous view of the whole thing. We'll talk to him in a little bit here on the Pete Shepard Show. More from Web Radio. Pete says, "ESPN Power Rankings have Pats as number one. Do you agree with this? The Pats can beat any NFL team? Also, do you at all see Belichick going back for Moss?" Which I think is the question everybody wants to know. I don't have an answer. Like I said, I think they will show interest. I think it's a long shot at best. As far as power rankings, though, those of you who listened to me over the years know what I think of power rankings. They're subjective. They don't mean diddly poo. They really don't, because, like I said, what happens a lot of times is these guys take into consideration these net yardage stats that don't mean anything. And that, you know, and if you just look at sometimes the numbers on paper, you get the wrong idea. Now, the paper
diddly poo.
Exactly. Thank you, Jim. And the you look at some of the games the Patriots have been involved in this year, they've had 2, 3, and 4 touchdown leads at times, at certain times. So, of course, they're going to play more of a soft zone. There's going to be a lot of more net yardage gained by some of these other teams. And even in San Diego, even though, you know, a lot of people, you know, they should have won that game by probably 3 touchdowns, okay? But they were still up by 17 points in the third quarter at one point, when after they went on that huge drive. So, of course, San Diego's going to come back and put up some, you know, decent yardage numbers because the Patriots are playing a little bit soft, trying to kill some clock. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you have to take into consideration. And those are the kind of numbers that fantasy football geeks love, you know, because it helps your fantasy team. But in real life, it doesn't mean much of anything. So you just have to be aware of that. When you look at, you know, total, you know, number one defense, number one offense, all that stuff, power rankings, it doesn't mean anything. You know, it means something: wins and losses and points allowed. That's what I look at. I look at points allowed, and I look at red zone offense and red zone defense. Those are the numbers that matter the most. Everything else that happens in between the 20s, you know, I don't really care about all that much, because it's what happens inside the red zone on offense and defense. That, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is where football games are won and lost. All right, quick break. Again, you can get back to me here at Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. You call us. Of course, you can email me as well, webradio@patriots.com. And you can Facebook me as well. My site is open. Happy to read those. When we come back, we're going to check in with Zoe.
Trying to get a hold of him. He hasn't called me back yet.
He better call back. I'll kick his ass if he doesn't call back. All the stuff I've done for him over the years, all the grief I've given him when we used to work together. Come on, Zoe. Better call in, because he does have a unique perspective. In case you missed it this week, he had me in stitches. Brett Favre stitches. He was telling the story on the air. All right, so it's the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. Don't forget Vic Carucci also in the 5:15 hour. We'll get Vic's perspective on all things NFL and all things Randy Moss. We'll be back in a few right after this on Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks. really tall ladders?
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it. Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
They're checking on Clark at about the 17-yard line, and he is going to be helped off the field. My goodness.
I was like Mickey in the first Rocky, the original. Down, down, stay down, 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 stay down. Oh, my God. And then he got up and wobbled away, and lo and behold, you know, he was healed. In about a half hour after that, healed and speaking to everybody. But joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline right now is former Patriot quarterback and current talk show host on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Gresh. It's Scott Zolak. Hello, Zoe.
PT, what's up, buddy? It's good to talk to you again.
You too. Glad it's been way too long, my friend. How's everything?
Doing well, bud. Doing well. It's like watching Lazarus get raised from the dead every time Brett Favre plays.
Well, I almost ran into a truck.
He could be Jesus or he could be Lazarus. Pick one or the other.
Yeah, Reggie White had one of those moments too. God rest his soul. But I mean, I remember that. Remember his leg got hurt. He was broken like eight places, and suddenly, miraculously, was able to play. But you had a, I heard your little diatribe on Monday with Gresh about, and I was driving on the road. I almost ran off the road because it was hysterical how you were describing it. I know you say, you know, some fans are booing, and I understand that. And your reaction, I thought was the correct one at the time. And then, but tell me from your perspective. What again, in case people miss the story, you saw all of this pretty up close.
Yeah, I was down on the 10 at the Patriots sideline, and this is right when he threw the ball to Moss when Merriweather hit him. And, you know, I thought that was an uncatchable ball for Moss. You go back and you look at the tape, but it was catchable. And I just think, you know, Merriweather knocked Randy off his route, and then next thing you know, Brett's laying on the turf once they get down inside the 10, and I see him start to get up, and I see the blood. I know he took a heck of a shot from Pryor. And he just got so woozy, Pete. He went to the knees. They helped him, and I followed him all the way into the tunnel, getting ready to do fifth quarter. They're bringing him by, and it's like when that guy snaps his leg, and they put him on the, you know, the meat wagon, and they're taking him off the field, and you got the two trainers there holding the ankle up so they can take it inside and set the bone once they get the air cast on. These two trainers, were holding his jaw literally together. And I'm thinking, this guy shattered his jaw. So I called Gary and Gresham up top. We're getting ready to do the post game. Mm-hmm. I'm like, guys, this guy's done. I think this might knock him out for 5 weeks. They're going to have to wire his jaw. And so I started to feel bad, and I tweeted. I said, classless for Patriots fans to boo this guy as he's carted off the field. But they knew it. I didn't. I was fooled. Next thing I know, I look up, and he's standing at the podium talking about, I feel fine. I don't feel anything.
Yeah, and then you also...
And then I said, you know what? You know what he is now, Pete?
Yeah.
He's, you know, you ever play a game Operation when you're a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's just blown up.
Yep.
You know, hey, cut out a part of the heel, put his face on it, calcaneus bulger, there you go. Put tendonitis, then we could do the bicep from when he played with the Jets. And then for the real special limited edition, you could take a Jets jersey, put it over, put a Minnesota jersey, a Packer jersey. Your favorite team could be the Operation game known as Brett Favre.
Yeah, and the other part of the story too, you said, you know, I mean, they brought, I mean, this was, they, I mean, you said they brought his daughter down. They're like, she's hysterical. She's in a chair, you know, right? I mean, she
I saw Brianna's daughter downstairs, and they wouldn't even let her in the locker room. And this is outside the X-ray, and you're thinking, this is bad. They brought a chair out for her. She's sitting down crying, saying, thank you, sir, thank you. And next thing I know, this fraud stand at the podium talking about me, my, I, and he mentioned himself 111 times in a matter of 6 minutes.
I called Steve Buckley yesterday. I said, you finally found someone to out-Trump your I's and me's. You know, it was unbelievable.
Now, there's a shocker. Yeah, put those two in a room, and they can talk about history. You know, story time.
The guy goes in. I mean, he goes into answering questions that nobody asked him.
I know. He started talking about the injury from last week. Oh, I'm just shocked I played. You know.
Well,
here's the thing. You know, with the whole Randy scenario too. Now, is he sitting there in Minnesota in the treatment room, thinking that is Chili going to whack me this week? Thinking he's going to start Tavares Jackson? Because if he's taking his number one deep threat supposedly away, you know, if he can do that to Randy Moss. Give up a third round pick, waste all this money, still be on the hook for $3.4 million. What's it to say he won't bench Favre this week?
Well, I agree. But, I mean, the whole Moss thing, I heard you talk about it a little bit and everything, but I sat there watching that press conference, and I'm sure you were there in the room with everybody, and, you know, we're getting ready to do the TV on Channel 4 at the end and the post game show and all that stuff. And I sat there and with friends, and I said, it reminded me of the Seinfeld episode where Jerry comes on and says, well, how long have I been out? What year is this? I mean, I just could not believe what I was witnessing in that love fest for the Patriots for 4.5 minutes.
Well, it's crazy. And then Favre goes on about, hey, I'm getting carted off, and, you know, shoot. I thought to myself, what the heck am I doing here? I'm thinking, you came back for $20 million. You know, three guys had to fly down on a private jet to beg you to come back. He's the kid who cried wolf. You remember the story when you were a little kid? You had it read to you 30 times before you went to bed. Mm. It's getting this, he's bordering LeBron rage right now. You think of some of the most hated athletes, you know, A-Rod, LeBron, and he is in the top three now. He has surpassed Tiger Woods.
At least LeBron can play. And even though Favre had a pretty good game on Sunday, which was surprising, but I mean, he actually played pretty well.
Peachy, that's the sad part. Favre played well.
He did.
And I said that in the pregame. I said, you know what? I think the Patriots are going to win this game by 10. This guy's going to somehow suck it up. Because now, as I recall, I remember playing with guys that, you know, had fractured bones, non-weight-bearing bones in their legs, and they played through it. I said, he's going to get through four quarters, and he's not going to be the reason the Vikings lost. It's going to be somebody else. And that was the case.
All right, let me ask you.
I remember playing with Bledsoe when they had to hold him down and shoot up his finger with a 3.25-inch pin. A 3/4-inch pin sticking out of the index finger on his throwing hand.
Yep.
Now, say what you want about Drew. You know, that's the last. That pin was the last thing to leave the football when he threw it.
It was
horrible.
That was toughness. You know, I'm getting sick of Favre.
He was. And you're so right about Drew. There's one thing, regardless of what you think of the guy, he was tough as nails. He really was.
Yeah, he had at cement feet, but he was tough as balls.
Jump my butt.
All right. We all know the details of the Randy Moss situation. How do you think this all plays out? Do you think the Patriots, as has been reported by some, actually, if he does clear waivers, will show some interest? I think it's...
I think the AFC, you know, once you get past the top three teams, say the Patriots, Pittsburgh, throw Baltimore in the mix, you know, you're wide open for that next second tier, and I think Tennessee's in the mix. With Kenny Britt being out, and you look at the downfield passing game for Tennessee, and I'll help them win games and beat teams like Dallas. You got to be crazy right now to not take a flyer on Randy. Tennessee, I think, is a viable option. I don't think he clears waivers, Pete. I mean, in an uncapped year, really, to get that type of talent, if you look at the coverage, and if Randy was so bad and his skills were so diminished, Why did such a football genius like Bill Belichick basically double and triple cover him 85% of the game on Sunday?
All right, well, say, and I agree with you, but I think there's only about 10 or 11 teams that are going to show interest. You know, maybe even Jerry Jones in his state, I don't think is dumb enough right now with the way that team is in shambles to take
he
a flyer.
He might be, but you're right.
I
think Randy's going to go to a team that thinks that they have a legitimate shot to be in the playoffs in the AFC.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably right, and it'll be interesting if he ends up with the Miami Dolphins. That'll be or
It'd
Tennessee.
It'd be great if he ended up with Miami. We'll see him back in Foxborough at the end of the year.
That's right.
I mean, think about that.
He loves to play in the cold.
Yeah, great stuff. He won't go over the middle, will he?
No, not at all. It's such an unbelievable. But say he does clear. It's by chance he does.
I don't want him coming back. I know where you're going with it, Pete. Yep. I don't want him here. They cleansed the locker room. They got rid of Adalis Thomas, Sean Springs, all the knuckleheads that were supposedly leading these young defensive backs and putting this bad impression upon them. They found their soul again to take it to the different level. It's a clean locker room now. They got something special. Why, now that you're putting this impression on young guys, confuse them by bringing this guy back?
Okay, but
you really think you can keep him straight for 10 weeks? And he would come back to the veteran minimum. This guy's a diva. It's all about him. It's always been about him. I don't want to see him in that locker room. They won without him. They will win without him.
Well, I don't doubt that they can, but do you think that the offense is better with him on the field? Regardless of what his numbers, like I said, what Randy doesn't understand is Randy's going to get his money to me anyway. He doesn't have to catch 5 touchdowns a game or get 100 yards a game. The guy is an incredible talent, whether he catches one ball or 10.
You're a moron if you don't think that on paper in black and white that this offense is not better without Randy Moss. Of course they are, from a pure talent perspective. Line them up across the front. But how much is number 12 that we haven't even talked about yet, sick of babysitting this guy, making sure Randy gets his touches? Is Randy okay? Is his head in the game? Is Randy okay if I check to this? If I'm looking and I'm hung out and I got coverage taking me to Randy, he refuses to go over the middle or he refuses to elevate for a football, I look stupid when I throw it up, and I can't trust that guy because I know it's got a chance to get intercepted.
Yeah, I'm wondering deep down how Bill Belichick would feel about it. I mean, I don't know what kind of – I mean, there was obviously a lot of words exchanged, a lot of pleasantries exchanged after that game, and obviously the Moss's press conference and everything. But to me, I don't think Bill Belichick is going to change his mind. I think there's a chance, but it's like, you know, about 100,000 to 1 that he's going to end up back here. But I wouldn't.
Sure,
I would never say 100% no, because I've thought that before with this organization
agree,
a couple
Pete,
times.
It's
and,
a crazy year. It's a crazy year. We've already seen nutty things happen. But if Randy really cared about being here, and if he cared about seeing Mr. Kraft before the game or going over and thanking Mrs. Kraft again, I mean, he would have put forth more of an effort during that kickoff gala to actually sit there and deal with the people from Raytheon, one of the biggest sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had his chances. This isn't, hey, I made one mistake, help me out, I need a second chance. He's made a multitude of mistakes, and I think he's paying for them now.
All right, Zoe, thanks a lot for taking a few minutes. Appreciate it. And, of course, you have a great show at Gresh on 10 to 2 every day.
We love you. Maybe we'll see you down the road, buddy.
Hey,
we always do.
You know, you ever need me for a fill-in, I'm with you, baby.
I'll see you, bro.
All right, take care. Scott Zolak, one of my all-time favorites. Love working with Zoe. Catch a show on 10 to 2 on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak?
That's right.
Zolak?
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482, 508.
Some good stories?
508-543-7482. Oh, my goodness. This is from leftover from the other show. Sean from New Hampshire says, they got to stay the AK-47 stuff. I love all the shows on Patriots.com, but the AK-47 show is perfect for me. That was the last show. That's because John Rook is having had a nervous breakdown after Texas lost to Baylor. So he's in some serious trouble. We wish John well. Thoughts and prayers are with you in your recovery. I think he's doing something with the PC Fryer, so he's not here today. But anyway, if you do want to email me, feel free. Webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. Also, you can check me out on Facebook and post to my wall if you'd like. And if that's easier, I'll certainly do that. Let's see. Ralph says, my poker buddy Ralph. Hey, Pete, how come you don't talk about the Buffalo Bills? Hope to see you Saturday. Unfortunately, that's Ralph's favorite team, and they're just not good. They've come close the last couple of weeks, but they're just not good. Curtis on Facebook says, hey, Pete, glad to have you back. Talking football. Do you think that Logan Mankins came back early because he heard the Moss rant? Did he realize that the Patriots may be a better place to play than somewhere else? Do you think there's a chance that he and the Patriots will reach an agreement for a long-term deal? He's a great player. I would hate to lose him. Keep up the good work. Well, I certainly think there's a chance for a long-term deal. I mean, I think he's going to, you know, he'll get his, again, he's going to get $1.54 million prorated over the final nine games this year and then become a free agent. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I would not discount him coming back here. But I don't think the Patriots are going to really budge off the $7 million a year that reportedly was offered to him earlier. Some team might trump that. So you just don't know what's going to happen. I think the collective bargaining agreement, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens after this season with an uncapped year and all. But I certainly do. I think there's a chance that they keep him. Sure, I think there's a chance. No question about it. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Email webradio at patriots.com. And again, Logan Mankins is going to be, he's basically listed as day-to-day, status of day-to-day as far as playing. And, you know, they went through the whole spiel, best players play on Sunday, blah, 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 blah. So, I mean, you know, you'll know more on Wednesday. This Patriots, again, the offensive line, I think you have to be impressed by what they've done for much of the year without Logan Mankins there. I can't say enough about Dan Connolly. I think Matt Light, for the most part, has been pretty solid. So is Stephen Neal and Copius and Sebastian Ballmer. And guys on defense, I mean, you've got to love what you're seeing here with this defense, the way it's coming together. I mean, Devin McCourty, and I liked him from the preseason, and he is going to end up being, he very well could be the defensive rookie of the year. He's having that good of a season. He has been tremendous so far. You know, the fact that Moss only had one catch last week is just, you know, and Arrington was on him a lot, too. That wasn't all McCourty. That was Arrington on him a lot, too. That might have been Arrington's best game he played all year was on Sunday. You got to love, you know, guys like Jermaine Cunningham, who are playing well. Mike Wright is playing well. Vince Wilfork, you can't say enough, you know. And this was without Ty Warren. Gerard Warren's playing well. Mayo and Spikes. Got to love it. I just love what I'm seeing on defense. That goal line stance was so awesome. That might have been the best part of the game, besides Favre getting popped, was that goal line stand at the end of the first half. That's fantastic. And that's what I'm talking about. This defense really is, and I hate to, you know, compare other seasons, but it really is starting to remind me a lot of what we saw in 2001. That's finally, you can really say about this bend, no break defense. Again, we're only seven games in, but they've beaten some pretty good teams here at home and on the road so far with this schedule. So I like it a lot. I love what I'm seeing from this team. And I think that the chemistry right now is getting better week to week. I think you're going to start seeing Tom Brady feel a little more comfortable. I'd like to see him get off to a little bit quicker starts here. But again, the last couple of weeks, he's also, you got to remember, you got to give some credit sometimes to some of the defenses they play. We just tend to think that they can go out there and just throw the ball around the field anytime they want because we're so spoiled by what happened in 2007 and some previous years. But, you know, San Diego's got the number one defense in the league, and Minnesota's got a damn good defense as well for the most part. So it's fine that you got to understand sometimes it takes a series or two to get going. And they responded. The thing is, this team responds. Minnesota took that 7-0 lead. Patriots march right back down the field and score. Now, I know they haven't had a lot of drives this year over 10 yards, but some of those numbers can be deceiving as well because of turnovers they've had and other things. I think you'll see the scoring start to improve, again, because of some of the teams they have left to play. You know, Minnesota and Miami and San Diego and the Jets. And those are four pretty good defenses right there that they've already had to play. So this week at Cleveland, I just think the problem is for the Browns is, again, quarterback. And guys like Jake Delhomme and Seneca Wallace and Colt McCoy are not going to do much damage against the Patriots. Now, I know they beat the Saints last week. Or 2 weeks ago, they had the bye week last week. I know they won 30-17. They have some interesting players, but I just think they caught the Saints. The Saints were kind of, if you notice, the Saints were like double-digit favorites against a whole bunch of teams. And, you know, because of the defending Super Bowl champs, because they had some games at home, and they just, I don't know. I think that Pittsburgh game, that's why I said last week, I thought that game was a wake-up call for the Saints. I didn't think the Steelers had any chance, to be honest with you, to win that game. They shouldn't have won against Miami the week before. And I just had a feeling the Saints were going to be good enough. Not that they killed them, but I mean, they did enough. It was a close game for the most part, but the Saints had to win that game. That was a must win situation for the Saints. So, I think that was a kind of a fluke what happened against the Cleveland Browns, and probably we might have been the wake up call that that team needed, because I think they're about ready to go on a run here the rest of the way. But the Browns are an interesting team. You know, they've been in every game so far this year. And unless the quarterbacks turn the ball over, which they very well could, by the way, you know, it's probably going to be a closer game than people think for a while before the Patriots pull away, win by maybe 10 points, something like that. I'll have my picks later on, but would not surprise me. I mean, you look at their games. They lose at Tampa Bay 17-14. This is the Browns now. They lose at home against Kansas City, pretty good team, 16-14. They lose at Baltimore 24-17, and they should have won that game. They screwed themselves in that game. Then they win against Cincinnati at home, 23-20. They lose at home against Atlanta, okay, 20-10. But that was a very close game until the end as well. Now, they lost to Pittsburgh 28-10, and that was when, you know, they just – that game was actually a little closer than the score indicated. It was pretty much a 7-10-point game for much of that game. And they went at New Orleans. So, they've been in every game. For a 2-5 team, they've been in every single game so far. So I don't expect the Patriots to go in and put up 50 on them. Of course, when you have quarterbacks like Seneca Wallace and Jake Delhomme at this point, who I don't think is going to play, or Colt McCoy, I just don't expect those guys to do a whole ton of damage. Yes, I know, like Fitzpatrick for Buffalo passed a ton of yards against them and that kind of stuff. But that was this defense now compared to where they were in that Buffalo game is completely different. I'm not saying they still don't have room for improvement. They certainly do. But I just don't think you're going to see guys like Seneca Wallace or Colt McCoy march the Browns up and down the field. This kid Peyton Hillis they have is an interesting player. Seventh rounder out of Arkansas, by the way. You know, he's 6'1", 240. He almost looks like he's not kind of like a Mike Alstott type, but not quite. Not a fullback, but not quite really your every down halfback, even though he does that. And this other kid, like I said, Ben Watson is their leading receiver. Let me say that again. Ben Watson is their leading receiver on the team. So what does that tell you? You got Chancey Stuckey as well, who's okay. Joshua Cribbs, the most dangerous guy. He's a wide receiver, does everything, mostly on special teams. That's the guy you got to watch for. You got to watch out for Cleveland special teams. They did a lot of chicanery last week, you know, against the Saints. They did all sorts of kooky things if you go back and watch some of the replays. So, I think Brad Steele's our special teams coach, right? He used to be here. Still, he's done a pretty good job with that group. So, I watched the Brown special teams on Sunday. That's to me a fascinating aspect. But of course, most people want to talk about and comment about is Randy Moss. Will the Patriots consider it? Will they not? Will he clear waivers? We'll see. Let's go back to the emails real quick. Here's Sean. Says, I think the question, do you want a possibility of going to the Super Bowl or being satisfied with a good season and going down in the playoffs? I think that when it comes down the stretch and you're playing against the Colts, Steelers, and Jets, you would benefit from Moss greatly. It might make the difference in the season. Well, I'm not, and thanks for the email, Sean. I think certainly that's possible, but could also go the other way and backfire on you. You know, as Zoe was talking about, I mean, the chemistry right now, And the character on this team is starting to really come together. Do you want a guy like Moss in there? Is it going to be a distraction again? You know, is he going to have a bad influence on some of the younger guys? So, I just don't see it happen. I think it's a long shot. Would I like to see it happen? I actually would. I just have a feeling for the first time, maybe in his playoff and maybe in his playing career, Randy Moss is humbled a little bit. Maybe he just wants to play. Maybe now he just wants to come back here and just play hard and not really care whether he catches one ball or five or two touchdowns or 10. I find that hard to believe, I guess, but anything's possible.
I can't speak that language, buddy, but just tell him we said what's up, man, and we appreciate the support. That's all.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio, patriots, at webradio at patriots.com. You can Facebook me as well. Again, try to post it on my wall. Don't send private messages because it's just hard doing, get like three computers in front of me and four papers and, you know, Jason's yelling at me all the time and all this stuff. Actually, he's not. He's done, doing a great job.
I've never yelled at you.
No, you don't. You don't. I'm just teasing you. But, when we come back, more emails, more of your phone calls. We're also going to speak with NFL.com's Vic Carucci, NFL Network's Vic Carucci, coming up here on the Pete Shepherd Show next hour, right here on Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right, you can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Ready? Back to throw. Play action. Looks. Gonna have to get rid of the football. Now rolls around. Fires down the field. Caught. Tate at the 40. 35. 30. To the inside of the 25. Cutting. 15. 10. 5. Count it. Touchdown.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves,
especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Welcome back to the final hour of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Email me, webradio, Patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. How was your trick-or-treating? Your kids?
Didn't do it, and no.
Oh.
I was here.
You and your wife didn't go out trick-or-treating?
No, we were. I was working Sunday.
Oh, well, that's right. You were here. That's right. There was some game going on here, right? Something like that? Some Moss Favre thing was going on? That's right. That's right. I understand that. Well, didn't Foxborough make trick-or-treating on Saturday anyway? Yeah.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, exactly. Bro. Exactly.
I actually played that in the game on Sunday.
Oh, really?
With a clip from Something About Mary after he threw his interception to McCourty.
Nice.
Showed a replay and then threw that up on the board.
This from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. Right, Jace?
Yes.
With 4 p.m., let's really read your word for word what it says here. With 4 p.m. Eastern Time come and gone in New York, the official Tuesday waiver wire has been released. Per multiple reports, Randy Moss officially has been cut by the Vikings. Since the trading deadline has come and gone, he is subjected to the waiver process. One GM told me within the hour that he expects a boatload of teams to submit claims. Of the teams expected to claim Moss, multiple league insiders believe the Patriots will do so as well. Since the one-loss Pats currently are last on the priority list, the gesture would be the next step in the phony, yes, parentheses, from the Wings perspective, Moss love fest aimed at keeping his wings clipped if and when he plays for the Patriots again. In addition to the Patriots, plenty of other teams will be in play. As we suggested Monday, he fits the Jets' profile for collecting veteran players. And for tweaking the Patriots, this dynamic pulls the Dolphins into play and in turn could prompt the 0-7 Bills to make the only noise they can in the AFC East by using their top position in the waiver process to claim Moss. That's never going to happen. No way Buffalo ever takes Moss. We'll know the answer tomorrow at 4 p.m. or possibly soon if the Bills make the claim and opt to let it be known that they have. There's just I just can't see that. I just can't see Buffalo. You know, well, they 0-6 or 0-7, putting a claim on Moss. But certainly the Jets in Miami is going to be, there'll be players in this summer. They'll be mentioned at least. And the Patriots, you're going to hear the Patriots mentioned as well. I still think it's a long shot at best, but you know, you never know. You never know. Paul on Facebook says, is there any chance Dan Conley has moved to center to accommodate Mankins as Copen has been getting slowly worse as the years have moved on? I don't know if that's necessarily true. Copen is getting significantly worse. I don't think so. The offensive line has allowed 2 sacks. Copen is largely responsible for calling out assignments on that line. You know, as far as pickups and everything, I don't think he's getting progressively worse. Don't see that. Also, Paul says, can you talk about Fletcher Brown Love on the team and how you see their role for the rest of the year? Well, I think their role for the rest of the year is going to be exactly what it is. You know? It's exactly what it's you know, those guys have been making plays at times when need be. They've all done well. You can email me at webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Hey Pete, nice to hear you on the Patriots Show. Miss hearing you on the radio. Will you be on every day? From Nelson. I wouldn't mind being on every day. Right now I'm not on every day.
Just today's just a groundswell of support day. Everybody loves the AK-47 show.
It's unbelievable.
And they love you. We should just blow out everything else and just do those two programs.
No, that's okay if you don't love me. I don't know. You know, what fun is it to be loved by everybody? It's fun. No, it's fun. I just try. I love the fact that, you know, this is, well, my show, so I can make it, as I said, I wanted to make it about the fans, not about, you know, me screaming over 10 other people.
It's your party.
It's my party. That's right. It's my freaking party. And I can do whatever the hell I want. You know, if I want to sing the old Houston Oilers song, I'll do that. I don't want to do that now, but I did it last week. You know, I can do that. I can do anything I want. Let's back to the
but
emails.
Please put your shoes back on.
No, my shoes are on. Norman, Illinois, parentheses, grew up in Weymouth, says, hey, Pete, do you remember the best Brett Favre Patriots play ever when Adelis Thomas single-handedly sent Brett Favre and Leon Washington backwards about 25 yards? Yes. They can say what they want about Adelis Thomas, but that play goes down in my book as the most memorable Patriots defensive play of all time. I don't know about of all time, but certainly it was, I do remember it was enjoyable. Chris in Seattle says, hey, Pete, I think a point worth mentioning with regard to Moss is that he wants a ring. That's the glaring item missing from his career. And now, as you say, he realizes what he's lost by leaving the Pats over money. And I don't really think it was money itself he wanted. I think it was the respect that he associates with the amount of money in his contract. I agree he's been humbled. He sees how good he really had it. And I don't think he would give the same level of effort on any other team at this point. I bet he even has his agent communicating as much to any team that shows interest and for that reason could actually make it through the waiver wire. Nobody wants an unhappy Randy Moss on their team. Randy Moss wants to get a ring with Bill Belichick and Tommy Boy. Thanks to Chris in Seattle. Well, he very well might feel that way. I'll be shocked if he makes it through waivers. I really will. I will be shocked if he makes it through waivers. Excuse me, I take a sip of my water. So, like I said, the next 48 hours are going to be very interesting to see what happens. Here's, let's see. Gene in Daytona Beach. I wish I was right now. It is freezing out today. A couple of things I'd like to mention. I know it's old news, but I would like to make mention of the great play Kyle Arrington made in San Diego's last-minute field goal. I watched it in slow motion on my DVR, and you could see his fingertips brush the ball, and it changes rotation, sending it out to the right, hit the upright. I think I saw that myself. I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I'll take your word for it. I just think it was going wide right anyway, and even if he was 5 yards closer, I think it would have been more wide right because he had that pet penalty. On PFW, a emailer said the people in Florida hated the Patriots. He might be right for South Florida Dolphins country, but not here in Central Florida. It is definitely Patriots country. A lot of people here at the University of Florida fans, and now with all the ex-University of Florida players on the Patriots roster, they have become Patriot fans. There is a Patriot fan club here, and you can't go out without seeing a Patriot flag on someone's house. I would love to have Randy back. Remember, it was his choice to leave Gene in Daytona Beach. And I think that's true. I think Florida in general, you get a lot of New England and New York fans because they are transplants. But I agree with you about if you're close to the University of Florida, then yes, obviously the Patriots have a big connection there right now. Rhode Island Ray says, Pete, do you think Mankin signs a long-term deal before the end of the season? I say chances are close to zero. I agree. If so, would they get free agent compensation if he leaves in the offseason at a fifth or sixth round pick? Yes. They would get that. And I think it does champ, but fifth or sixth sounds about right. But I do think, the chances are close to zero about him signing a long-term deal before the end of the season. I just don't see that happening at all. Anyway, you can email me again, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to check in with Vic Carucci in just a little bit, get his perspective on things of the NFL Network. Does a great job over there. Craig says, Pete, up here in the sticks of Maine, so haven't heard the whole show. Thoughts on this week being a trap game or let down after all the hype of last Sunday? I don't think so. I think the Patriots have blocked that stuff. This team doesn't really fall into trap games, and I'm sure Belichick is drilling into the heads this week as I just ran past the scores of some of the Cleveland Brown games. They have basically been in all seven of the games, and this team could be 4-3. This team could easily be 4-3 instead of 2-5. As we talk about, as Bill points out, Coach Bill Belichick points out time and time again, these games are decided. It's usually three or four plays that can turn a game around, and that certainly has been the case for the Cleveland Browns this year. You know, you go back and watch the highlights of some of their games, and they have probably should have won at least four of them.
But I'm not Bill Belichick, and I'm not Bill Parcells.
Yeah. I'm on Burgundy.
Eric Mangini. Well, so far that hype hasn't started. It'll start tomorrow.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
But I don't expect a lot of exchanging the words between Eric Mangini and Bill Belichick. And, of course, everybody will be wondering what kind of hug will be happening at the end of the game. You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. People who get crazy about hugs.
Talk about a guy who's lost a ton of weight.
Yes, he has. Yeah, yes, he has.
My favorite was talking about me. Salad.
Luke on Facebook says, Pete, how do you think the Colts will fare without Dallas Clark? I was watching them last night against Houston, and it got me thinking about their game against the Pats at Foxborough on November 21st. You see the Patriots winning that game. Well, I think it'll be very competitive. I can tell you that. It'll be very competitive. Maybe the Patriots' toughest test the rest of the way, even without Dallas Clark and what Collier's out to. He's out. So they have issues, but, I mean, I thought they played pretty well last night against the – I mean, I know the revenge factor, and, you know, and Houston didn't play – didn't play all that great. Didn't play nearly as well as they did in the first game of the season at home. But That's, you know, I don't care. As long as Peyton Manning is back there at quarterback, he is going to pose problems for anybody. Okay? Second best quarterback in the league after Brady. And he'll pose problems for anybody. So I think it'll be a competitive game. It'll go, I think it'll probably come right down to the wire as it always does. I don't care who's out there for receiver for him. It doesn't matter to me. And Dallas Clark is a huge loss. Don't get me wrong. Huge loss considering the Patriots and the tight ends. You know, they've had a little bit of difficulty this year, with the tight ends. Not so much lately, but certainly that's been kind of like their mini Achilles heel the last couple of years. But as we've seen, that's why the Ben Watson matchup could be an interesting one on Sunday, because Ben Watson's their leading receiver. I can't figure that out, but he is. Ben Watson is their leading receiver on the Cleveland Browns. Again, if you want to check in on Facebook, feel free. My page is open. And just again, post it to my wall. Don't send private messages. Chris says, Pete, do you think the Pats have the offensive depth to go all the way? In my opinion, I am more encouraged with the progression of the defense than the offense so far. Well, Chris, look, as I talked about 20 minutes ago, you have to be encouraged by what you've seen from this defense. Everybody was talking about it in the preseason like it was some gigantic sieve. And you try to be rational with people and say, you know, you just can't go by vanilla 3-4 base defense is what it's going to be. You got to be encouraged by what's happening. But I think you're going to be more encouraged with the offense as time goes on. They're just playing up against three really good defenses in a row. Four, really. I mean, Baltimore, Miami, San Diego, and Minnesota. Those are four really good defenses, and they did a pretty good job. I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to put up a lot of points in a row in four straight games, all right, like the Patriots did. And that being said, let's head out to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, and check in with NFL.com's Vic Carucci. Hi, Vic.
Pete, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you, my friend? Thanks so much for taking a few minutes. I appreciate it.
My pleasure to join the Patriots any chance I get.
Well, I was talking to Scott Zolak earlier and a bunch of my friends on Sunday while I was watching the game, and I just want to start with I'm not even going to get into the Favre garbage because it's so old. I'm tired of talking about him. But the Randy Moss love fest for the Patriots, the oozing of love at the press conference, post-game press conference, I sat there, and I was telling those guys, my friends and Zoe, I said, I felt like it was in that Seinfeld episode when I woke up. I was like, how long have I been out? Where am I? I mean, I couldn't. It was like a Twilight Zone episode to me. Did you feel the same way? Was your jaw dropping as you heard this guy speak at that press conference?
Yeah, I honestly had no clue what, like so many others, where this was coming from and what it was all about. We've heard bizarre press conferences from Randy before, and I guess the one that he held after their season opening win against Cincinnati was the first that you know made you question like where was he while everything else seemed to be pointing in an entirely different direction, and then to have this come up, and as much as I guess it factored into what the Vikings did, I'm still at a loss to figure out that this to me is still more on the Vikings than it is on Moss. I until I get some evidence of something incredibly bad that he did, bizarre is bizarre, but incredibly bad is the only way I think you cut a player after you gave up a third round pick a month ago to get him.
I totally agree with you, and you know, and I don't buy into the fact that what put them over the edge was this obviously a bad Friday night, this Friday night dinner gone bad as he criticized a local restaurant who catered, you know, the meal, saying it tasted like crap and he wouldn't feed it to his dog and that kind of stuff. But apparently some players were really ticked off about that.
Yeah. I mean, again, the team dynamic, if you think about it, I mean, if you go back, I maybe it's because I've been around this game too long, and maybe sensitivities are different through the years. But if you've been around this long enough, Pete, and you talk mm-hmm. with people about the way, say, teammates behave and such, and different things that go on. I mean, Peter Richmond, who's an outstanding author, wrote this book about. There's a book recently released about the Raiders, and it's actually called Badasses, the mm-hmm. 1970s, you know, John Madden Raiders.
Sure.
And there are anecdotes in there about you know, an offensive lineman, who was Bob Brown, who liked to carry firearms with him at training camp. and at one point decided to shoot up the mattress of his roommate because he was mad at the roommate. It didn't lead to anything as far as Brown being waived or anything. In fact, it only enhanced his legacy on that team. And it just, you know, the guys told these stories about him, and it made me think about something as much as, you know, being upset with the food you might be served by the caterer. By comparison, I mean, I'm just thinking here now, maybe it was a different time, and maybe that wouldn't be quite as accepted today. I hope to God it wouldn't, but still, it just tells you, Pete, of through the years, it may, and again, you get hardened to these things, like, I've seen and heard of a lot worse. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, is it crass to do this? Sure. Why make people feel bad who are just trying to do their job and feed, you know, bring the food in that your team is paid for, catering. Does it make you feel bigger or seem like, but I think teammates at, by and large, what's the threshold of bad behavior to where they can't tolerate having a guy around? And I think those might be factors that come across the mind of a coach when he makes that move, but it could only be a smattering of something. And I still can't see what the big point and the big picture is, you know, unless I'm missing something as far as like something horribly bad that he did. Yeah. The Patriots trading him is a very different story. They got something. They got a third round pick and they weren't going to get a thing for him after this year. So from a business standpoint, you saw the rhyme and reason for Bill Belichick's thinking. There's no rhyme or reason that I can see yet for what Brad Childress did.
Which amazes me that Childress still has a job today, because obviously the owner is upset. We've seen the comments. I mean, I don't think he was in favor of this. But, I mean, with you know, are you surprised that Childress is still a coach today? I thought he was going to get the axe.
Well, to some degree, yeah, but I'm not professing that I know all the ins and outs of the economics of the league right now, but I think we've heard Jerry Jones, or we've heard this said about Jerry Jones, and maybe he's said it in so many words in Dallas, or maybe he said it in the exact words, I don't know for sure, but about why Wade Phillips is still the Cowboys coach, that the concerns about money being... Remember, coaching contracts are guaranteed, and the monies that are tied up with these particular deals being just written off isn't as easy to do now when you've got concerns over the collective bargaining agreement and with the future of the league short term. I mean, after this season might be, and where additional sponsor dollars or revenue is going to come from. So all these thoughts, I think, Pete, are factoring mm-hmm. into maybe the hesitation to make moves that you might otherwise see made maybe in season. And I do think, too, that history shows us that in-season changes, what good does it bring? Is that really going to make a difference with that fan base in Minnesota or even Dallas? I mean, I think the expectation that you do something is probably good enough. When the season's lost, I don't think anybody sees a rescue being made if you promote, say, Leslie Frazier from defensive coordinator to head coach of the Vikings or a Cowboy assistant, whoever that may be, to replace Wade Phillips.
All right, how do you think this Randy Moss whole saga plays out here? Now, we're hearing all kinds of rumors already about what team, and it seems like every team in the AFC East, according to various reports, are interested in him. Although, I got to tell you, I, first of all, I don't think he clears waivers. I think there's maybe about 10 or 11 teams that maybe have a shot at him. And I sure as hell don't think, and I know you're very close to the Buffalo Bills, do you think Buffalo has any chance or any interest in Randy Moss at all?
Well, I think the interest could be there, but I think what will deter them is the economics of this. I think you're on the hook for better than $3.5 billion, somewhere mm-hmm. along those lines, if you pick him up. And I don't think that's an investment the Bills would make with any thought that it has a future. Is it the only way it would make sense is if they are determined, or if they determine this would absolutely sell tickets for them for some difficult selling home games the rest of the season. And I'm not sure it's going to do the trick, especially as the weather turns in Western New York and so forth. It was a good PR or a marketing campaign a year ago, the $6.5 billion they invested in Terrell Owens, but that was done in the off season, and it gave them some, you know, they had a running start to sell tickets, and it worked. They sold out all their games, and he was a big part of that. I don't know that you're going to get the same effect with a Moss when it's only a short-term kind of arrangement. I think for Randy's part, he can choose his team now. He does not have to report as a vested veteran to whatever team just claims him. So he's going to want to, I'm sure, be a part of a team that's going somewhere, which I think also disqualifies the Bills. I think he probably has his heart set on returning right there to the Patriots if they would have him.
How realistic do you think that? You think it is at all possible that he does return here if it all plays out?
In this season and in this story, I think anything's possible. I mean, I've seen what I thought were two things that I could, said, "Oh my God, this I can't believe it already happened twice: the trade and then the cut." So I'm going to sit here now, and how could I rule it out? And when you think about it, I've heard it argued, well, the Pats have put too much time now in tailoring the offense to the way they want it with Deion Branch and so forth. Yep, that sounds good until you think about what it takes now through the second half of the season. There's a lot of football to be played, and this is a team with a realistic shot at a top seed in the AFC. And I think that constant dimension now of a player who can go over the top and stretch teams on each play then has to be accounted for. I mean, Moss is still that. And I would think at least has to be considered. Again, I don't think that anything happened so bad that it can't be rectified, or putting him back there would be, you know, they like I said, they got a third round pick for him, and then they get the player back. I think that's the classic Belichick deal. It's a win, 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 win.
Do you think he's worried at all, possibly? And I agree with everything you said. I think it's still a long shot, but again, it's such a crazy year. But do you think Bill Belichick is concerned about how Moss's attitude or could affect the way these young guys have now started to come together, particularly on defense, and his influence over some of the younger players on this team, which there are a lot of?
I don't know that he – I mean, you profess to know what's going on inside Bill Belichick's head, but I will say this. He doesn't strike me, in all the years I've been around him and observed him and, you know, so forth, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that worries about the behavioral aspect of a player being stronger than something he as a coach can handle. I just don't think he feels the mere presence of someone will change a dynamic that he can't pulled in the direction he wants it to be pulled. And even with so many of those young guys, we call them young and impressionable, I think there's still enough strong people in that locker room. And who's the leader of the Patriots, flat out? We know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Tom Brady's presence is not going to be trumped by Randy Moss's presence. It wasn't before, and it won't be now. And I think those young players probably understand better than we might give them credit for how this program works now. And you know, halfway through the season, they get it. And if he were to bring him back, and again, I'm not predicting it'll happen, but like I said, I can't rule it out. And if he were to end up back there, Pete, mm-hmm. It would seem to me that part of the thinking would be that those kids, and even if Belichick, if he gave it a second thought, those kids would understand, oh, yeah, he's here from a football standpoint to stretch things. He's not here to be my mentor, to be my guider, my leader, whatever. We know who our leader is, and from the offensive standpoint, and probably from the whole team standpoint, and there's others, you know, there's at least a strong guy or two defensively to take that leadership role. But and of course, the biggest leader of all isn't a player. So I just have a feeling that's not a real concern for the head coach.
I'm with you. Just real quick about the Patriots and the Cleveland Browns this week. I'm looking at, you look at the Browns, I've reviewed, some of their games on tape, the Philly 15-minute highlights and all that stuff. Haven't seen them start to finish, but, the special team seems to be, pretty good. But, this team could easily be 4-3. They've been basically in every game. Even the Pittsburgh game, they've lost 28-10. They were in that game for a lot of that game. It's just, you know, they have no quarterback. I mean, it looks like either Seneca Wallace or Colt McCoy going up. But, I mean, I still think the game is probably going to be competitive for a while, but the Patriots just have too much talent to, I believe, lose this game unless they fumble it away somehow.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's true with this Cleveland team. I think they will make a game out of pretty much every game they play, and so much of it is because of how their defense, how Rob Ryan runs that scheme. You know, in the last game they played against New Orleans, I mean, he was a step ahead of Sean Payton throughout that game with the way that defense was working. And you know, he's an outstanding coach. The Patriots know him, know his thinking. I think that's helpful in dealing with this this defense. But you're right. It still comes down to do you have enough talent, and certainly do you have enough offense to handle what the Patriots are able to bring, and I think the answer to that is a definite no.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who they're going to start at quarterback this week again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're very close to the vest. It seems to me I would not be opposed to going with Colt McCoy if you believe that your team that the strength of your team remains defense. They beat the Saints because Rob Ryan. Largely because Rob Ryan outcoached Sean Payton, and they had some gimmickry and other stuff. They didn't beat him because the quarterback had to play a great game, and they're not going to ask Seneca Wallace or Colt McCoy to play a great game. But Colt was efficient, and for a young kid, you know, to not be overwhelmed. The key is, you know, Greg Williams. Come on, mm-hmm. If Greg Williams couldn't twist his brain into a pretzel, I don't know if. But can Bill Belichick, and maybe he can, but I mean, I would say that if you pass the Greg Williams test, you're the Browns looking at it. You say he passed that test, he's got a shot at passing the Belichick test too.
Well, you know, you look at when I saw Ben Watson as the leading receiver on the team, you know, I had to laugh, I must say, but that just goes to show you where they are offensively. Ben Watson is your leading receiver.
Looking at the big Patriots now, saying, "Wait a minute, that offense—that's throwing to the tight end. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know what happened to me? You know, he feels like he got left out of a party because that whole paradigm shifted. Right now the tight end catches passes in the Patriots offense.
Yeah, and then the other two guys that I'm intrigued with on the Browns. One, I mean, Joshua Cribbs is probably the most dangerous guy overall. What he can do, especially on special teams, he's a guy I think Patriot fans may not know a whole heck of a lot about, but one they should. And how about, you know, Peyton Hill is a pretty good story. 7th round pick out of Arkansas. And, you know, he's pretty good. He reminds me of kind of a mini version of Allstott out there a little bit. But I mean, those two guys are, you know, pretty interesting players for the Browns on, you know, from an offensive point of view and a special teams point of view.
Well, Pete, here's the thing, and Cribbs was already there,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
But what I'm about to say is let's talk about Mike Holmgren, because his stamp on this team has been pretty clear and a good one, and it you know, there's a structure, a sense of belief around there, a vision. I spent time with them and him at training camp this summer, and we talked a long time about the whole vision thing. And Mike, you know, not only does it sound good when he talks about it, because, you know, obviously sometimes people can just make the thing sound good and then the practical application leaves something to be desired. That's not the case. I mean, he knew what he was doing, and he's got Gil Haskell there from his Seattle and Green Bay days, and who's sort of an overseer with Mangini and Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, kind of trying to keep everything on the right track. I mean, you know, they're a long way from being
sure.
Anything substantive, but I think the big reason why they've made the strides they've made, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Eric, but I think it's clear the strides came because Mike got in there, and a guy who knows what he's doing, and Randy Lerner, the owner, said, please fix this, and I'll, whatever you need to fix it, fix it, and he's fixing it.
All right, one quick prediction before I let you go. Where do you think Randy Moss ends up, real quick? If you had, I mean, your best guesstimation.
I don't know. I can't. I'm well. it's been so nuts. Why don't I just stick with the lunacy and say, you know, he'll be back with the Pats. You'll have Randy Moss on the field against the Browns Sunday. How's that?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Wow, that would be too much. I'll tell you what, the way the season's going, the craziness of this year, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and then he'll be a guest on your show, and you're all good.
All right, Vic, thanks so much for taking a few minutes again. I really appreciate it. Good luck. Where were you this week? What game are you at this week?
I'm going to go to Philly. I was in, I was at the...
Oh, for the Indy game. Yeah.
And I was at, actually, Indy last night to watch them against the Texans. So I'm going to, not so much sticking with them, but I do want to see the Michael Vick return and see where that all goes.
No, and there'll be another couple, 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 stories in that game as well, I'm sure. But
All right, brother.
All right, Vic, thanks. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Pete.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you very much. Vic Carucci of the NFL Network, NFL.com. I mean, he's just one of the best. And like I said, I mean, he's not discounting the possibility of Randy Moss possibly coming back to the Patriots. I think there's a chance. I do think it's a long shot. Vic seems to think that. I think Vic's a little more confident than I am about it, but certainly the way this lunacy has gone this year in the NFL, anything is possible. So we'll come back to your calls in a second. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. You can email, of course, webradiopatriots.com, or check me out on the Facebook. Just email or post something on my wall. I'll be happy to read it. And I got my picks coming up. We're going to take a quick break. Come back, more emails, more phone calls, and then what you've all been waiting for, again, I'm giving it to you three straight weeks in a row, is my picks. I think last week, I have to find out last week, I think it was a couple games over 500. Not sure. I lost my list, but I think it did pretty well.
That's 2 weeks in a row that you've lost.
I know.
Why don't we leave the list here?
Oh, let's do. Well, we should do that.
We'll put the list on the wall back here, and you
we
can
should
check
that.
It off on the
But I know I had Green Bay. I know I had Green Bay. And I know I had New Orleans. I know that. I know I had the Patriots. I said 28-14. It was 28-18. And I did pretty well overall. At least those four games that I remember. Anyway, when we come back, more of your phone calls, more emails, and my picks coming up on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Fire play action fake. Back to throw. Looks. Fires up the field. And it is taken away at the 25-yard line. Taken out of his hands down the left sideline for the Patriots. Cutting to the 40-yard line. And the interception goes Devin McCourty.
Thanks to Gino and Jill calling the Patriots Radio Network there. Tracy on Facebook, get to my picks in just a second. Tracy says, this is actually a very interesting email, and I forgot about this, and she's absolutely correct. I may have my teams confused, but wasn't it the Vikings who had the booze cruises with the hookers several years ago, hookers, et cetera, okay, but they draw the line at rudeness? No, you're absolutely right. It was the Vikings. And they did get in a lot of trouble, and you're right. And now, Randy Moss.
That's pretty good observation.
Randy Moss can't be a food critic without getting thrown off the team. So it's just unbelievable. It really is. It really is. Well, WebRadioPatriots.com is the site. WebRadioPatriots.com is how you get in touch with me. You can also, again, get to me on Facebook for the next couple of minutes. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time. Gather around. Grab the kids. Even if it's dinner time, put those Bose speakers on the table. It's okay. I'm fun for the whole family. Believe me. I'm lovable. Here you go. It's your NFL point spread picks for week 9. You ready? And this has been a monster week for my staff. I'll tell you what. I've had contacts with at least 2 different teams, maybe 3. I
you
broke
lying
it.
Your ass
I'm not, Eddie. I've broken it all down. I am on fire, especially picking against the Jets and for the Patriots with the point spreads. And here you go, your week 9 picks. We begin in the beautiful city of Buffalo. That's right. That's where the Bears are going to be this week. I am so tempted to pick Buffalo just for my buddy Ralph's sake because he's ready to have a nervous breakdown.
It's a very complex proposal, and I really didn't understand it.
And you know my hatred for Jay Cutler, who I think absolutely sucks. And I can't believe I have to do it, but I have to pick the Bears in this game because the Bills get so close, and then they just collapse. Now, this game's liable to hit right on the number of 3, but I'm going to say Buffalo screws it up again somehow, some way down the stretch. And the Bears will get the job done, squeak out. This could be one of the ugliest games you see all year is Chicago at Buffalo. I mean, they both suck. It's awful. But Buffalo sucks more. So I'm going to go with the Bears and win this one by maybe less than a touchdown. But
the Bears are what we thought they were.
They are. They are. Second game, interesting. San Diego is at Houston. At Houston. The Texans are underdogs in this game. San Diego favored by 2.5. What?
Yourself, San Diego.
I know they beat Tennessee last week at Houston. I'm not sure they're good enough to win 2 in a row. I don't know about the Chargers just yet. Houston humiliated last night against Indianapolis. I think the Texans come back strong. It's only 2.5. They just could win by 3. I think it's a close game. I'm going with the Texans. No, San Diego was not super, even though they did play well against Tennessee. Another game, the New Orleans Saints. They are a 7-point favorite at home, or at Carolina, excuse me. Carolina is awful. The Saints, I think, got the wake-up call they needed after the Browns' loss. They played well against the Steelers. I think it continues. I think they go into Carolina and kick ass. I think they blow them out, blow them to smithereens. So lay the points, -7 with New Orleans there. The Vikings are home, and they're 9-point favorites against Arizona. 9.
Brett Favre.
The team will be in disarray. Upset alert. Upset alert. Upset alert. Here come the Arizona Cardinals. Take them +9. They might win this game outright. That's how bleeped up the Vikings could possibly be after this week.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
You may have to. You may have to. It's like not getting that. It's like hitting the drive and not getting it past the ladies' tee. That's what happens. I told you this was a family show. But I have no faith at all that Minnesota has the character and the charisma, the scope, if you will, to come together as a cohesive unit to beat Arizona by more than 9. I don't see it. I'm taking the Cardinals. Exactly. Here's a boring game. The Falcons are home against Tampa Bay. Though some proclaiming Tampa Bay might be the best team in the NFC.
Boring.
Atlanta's an 8.5-point favorite. Tough game to call here. Too many points for me. Too many points. Tampa Bay plus the 8.5 gets the. I think Atlanta wins. I got to go with the Bucs. The Pirates get the job done. 8.5. That's too many in that game right there. In Detroit, where the Lions seem to come oh so close every week. Although last week they did beat Washington pretty handily in the end. They get the hated Jets this week, though. The Jets humiliated at home. Humiliated at home. 9-0 by the Packers last week. But I think they might get their revenge this week.
Very funny, you get.
Jets in a close one at Detroit, but the Jets lay the 4. They win this game by a touchdown. I think it'll be a close game. But the Jets get the job done here. Although, if they ever lose to Detroit. What was that? That picture of Brady just falling back at me? What an omen that is. I hope that's not a signal. I hope that's not a sign of things to come. The big picture in back of me here in the studio, Tom Brady throwing a touchdown pass. It's got to be circa 2001, 2, 3, or 4 because Joey Andrews blocking. But that is that just freaked me out. I got to tell you, that completely freaked me out.
Hell no.
Where was I?
You're finishing your thought on the Jets.
Yeah, they suck. And no, they don't. But I mean, they are going to struggle in Detroit for a little while. Then they will win by at least a touchdown. They'll win by a touchdown. But that'll be a close game. That's right. Being a lot of snacks in Motown. Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens. They're home against the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins are playing well. Got screwed at home against Pittsburgh. Had a nice win last week in Cincinnati. But I just get the feeling here they're about to run out of gas a little bit. Baltimore has been involved in a lot of close games this year, but I laid a 5.5 here at Baltimore. I think the Ravens get it done by a touchdown, 7-10 points. They beat Miami. Patriots increase their lead in the division over the Dolphins, and Baltimore gets a check mark there. Now we head to Seattle. No, that's the worst song ever. They are so lame over there. They can't even come up with their own song. They're going to steal the Houston Oilers theme song. It's just awful. Seattle is home this week to the Giants. I can't figure the Seahawks out. Some weeks they look really good. Some weeks they look really bad. But they're home and a 7-point dog here to the Giants. I gotta say that somehow Pete Carroll gets his troops jacked up. They get jacked and pumped. They're gonna have fun.
Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
I don't think they're gonna win, but I think they cover. I think they play the Giants tough in this one. And 7 points at home, I could take that most times. Let's just Buffalo.
That kind of question pisses me off.
It doesn't. Well, I'm taking you, Pete, this week. Seattle plus a 7. They get that check mark there.
These guys are kind of the modern-day swashbucklers.
Now, another interesting game coming up. This one is going to be a battle, folks. I'm actually looking forward to looking at this one. I hope this is the game that they show around here if you don't have the NFL package. But the Oakland Raiders are home against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders are on fire. What is going on in Oakland? I thought they'd win last week. That was another game I picked right last week. I remember that. Oakland, 2.5-point favorite against Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs also gutted out a win against Buffalo last week. I think this is a bad spot right here for Kansas City.
If you guys want to get a treat, you should go to the horse track and watch Wes Welker jockey.
The Raiders are on fire. I'll stick with them. I'll ride them. I'm going to ride Al Davis. We're all the way to the grave. 2.5 points. Raiders laying 2.5 points. I'll take it. The Oakland Raiders over Kansas City and Matt Castle and Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss. I just think it's a tough spot right here. I like the Raiders. Then we go off to Philadelphia. 4:15 on Sunday. They're home against Indianapolis. Unbelievable. Peyton Manning versus Michael Vick. Cobb is out there, too. Wants to play. Vick is going to start. Will he finish the game is the question. First time he's played in a few weeks. The Eagles are three-point favorites against Indianapolis. Indy, again, tough spot for them. Monday night team having to travel on the road to Philadelphia. Short week of practice. I like the Eagles in this spot. I like the Eagles in this spot. Close game. I think the Eagles get it done. So somewhere between 4 and 7 points, but lay the 3, they cover it. Next up, the Green Bay Packers are 8-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys, who suck.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
Now, this game needs no further explanation except for two words. Wade Phillips.
How about them Cowboys?
Green Bay could be favored by 8, 18, or 88. There's no way in hell they're losing this game. They're on a roll from whipping the Jets 9-0 this week. Was it 9-0? 9-0, right? Yeah. 9-0. Yeah, yeah. So Green Bay at home here, minus 8 against Dallas. I mean, they are just pathetic. I lay the points here with Green Bay. That is the Sunday night game next week, and I think Dallas is going to be in for a butt-whipping again. I mean, they lost to Jacksonville at home. Humiliated. That's another game I picked right last week. I'm not sure I picked many wrong last week. Monday Night Football. They got Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. The Bengals, they suck too. They suck. Monday Night Football. The Pittsburgh Steelers, tough loss for them. Tough spot for them. Not a bad loss at New Orleans. A team that they just happened to catch at a bad time. New Orleans had a really good feeling about that game. They're going to win. But I don't have a good feeling about the Bungles at home again. They stink, and they suck, and they stink. So I'm going with the Steelers here, -4.5. They get the job done at Cincinnati.
It's my quarterback.
Oh, they are just so pathetic. I mean, that stadium was empty. Empty. Towards the end there. The Dolphins got the job done. Finally, your New England Patriots, at least right now on Tuesday. 4.5-point favorites at Cleveland. That's it? I'll take it. Like I said, I think this game will be close for a little bit because the Browns just play everybody close, and they're at home. But in the end,
he's smart.
They don't have any quarterback. Ben Watson is their leading receiver. That's all you need to know. Yeah, Seneca Wallace.
First attitude where players are working the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey.
God, please knock that off. You are not Herb Brooks. You're not even Herb Albert. All right?
You know, the receivers.
Unbelievable.
Have a lot of balls.
Eric Mangini. Forget about it.
It's so ridiculous.
Patriots win this game by double digits. 10 points. Patriot win. Ready for this one? 20-10. How about that?
Yeah!
20-10.
Yeah!
Your New England Patriots. It's a low-scoring, hard-fought game. Probably chilly weather in Cleveland. One of those...
Heard a chance of snow.
It could be a chance of snow. I wouldn't doubt it. Looks like it's going to snow here today.
But we know what the Patriots record is when the temperature drops below...
Yeah, like 87-1 or something like that. You know, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. So there it is. Patriots 20-10.
That's crazy.
They'll improve to 7-1. And that's all. That's all the games. That is all the picks. And that's just about going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. I thank everybody once again for checking and calling in. It's going to be one hell of a week to see the next couple of days where Randy Moss ends up. I do think. I'm with Vic Carucci. I think there's a chance. He thinks there's a bigger chance than I do of Moss ending up here. I think it's a long shot. He seems to think it's better than a long shot. Not that it's like 50-50 or anything like that, but he thinks there's a pretty good chance he might end up back here. And I'm wondering, I hope he's correct. I think it would be a fascinating story if Randy Moss ends up back on this team. I really do. What the hell? You know, as long as you think he's not going to be a disruptor in that locker room, as Vic was saying, Vic was kind of, he Jedi mind tricked me into that, and I'm kind of on his side. Because you know if Belichick takes him back, that he's going to have to believe in his heart of hearts that there's no way that Randy is going to be a disruptive force in that locker room. But we're a long way away from that. Thanks to Jason Dvorkin, our producer. Thanks to Vic Carucci from NFL Network and NFL.com. Thank you to Scott Zolak from 98.5, the sports hub of the Zoe and Gress Show, for coming on and spending a few minutes. Thanks to all the callers and all the listeners for checking out the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com. I'll be back again next Tuesday between 4 and 6. And, of course, you can always wait a few minutes and then download the show. Really interesting interview, I thought, with Vic Carucci. Touched on everything that needed to be touched upon as far as Randy Moss goes and previewing the Patriot-Cleveland game, in case you missed it. He, as always, Vic is one of the best in the business and a good friend.
Hi,
and
this is Troy Brown. Download the podcast now. Bingo.
Bingo. That's going to do it for me. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday, everybody. And when in doubt, shove all in. See ya.
Bingo! Bingo! I got bingo!
It'll be John Halama on the mound against El Duque.
Joe Hijimi. Oh, yeah.